Welcome, everybody. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds on BBSRadio.com, your favorite medium, psychic medium and paranormal investigator and UFO researcher. Yes, I am. Always have been. I just never talk about it too much because I've actually had my situation in life of being abducted when I was a kid growing up. Before I get started with our guest this week, I'd like to thank everybody for being patient. I was gone for a few weeks. I had to put on some audios from the archives, and I hope you guys were able. Maybe sometimes some people are actually curious to see what did happen a few weeks back or months back, and if you did miss the show, you get to listen to it again. I was actually up northern Alberta in Canada here, where I worked in the diabetes conference. I was with our people up here in the reservations. I want to give thanks to the Driftbaugh First Nations as well as the Slave Lake First Nations and Sucker Creek for welcoming me up there to give them a hand to help them with the healing programs, including the diabetes. And I had a great time, and I'm looking forward to doing this again. Also, when I was coming back, I got sick last week. I was just sicker than a bug. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like what I found out was an intestinal tract virus. It was in the intestines. It made me sleep. I couldn't keep my eyes open. I felt so nauseous. I felt like I wanted to throw up in both ends, which basically it did, and it wiped me right out completely. I mean, my immune system went down into nothing, and I ended up sleeping for 3 days straight. I couldn't keep my eyes open. My wife never believed me. Seen anything like this before, and she was just totally floored. But good thing I've got a wife who knows her medicines, and she built up my immune system and got my body back up again, and I recovered really quickly compared to most people, because I know some people tell me that this immune system virus can knock you down for about 10 days to 2 weeks, and mine was pretty well taken care of about 3-4 days. So anyway, or not say 3 days, I was down for 3 days, about 5 days at the most. Anyways, to get started back in the show, I asked someone who had talked about, years ago I used to talk about being an abductee myself, and I used to always tell my stories on other radio shows that I was always doing, and I never really did want to talk about UFO abductions because, you hear about it so often by so many people, but anybody has ever talked about their stories, and yet when I talk about my story, they're saying, yours is different, how come? Well, because I was abducted by the Anunnaki when I was a kid. And I know because these guys stand about 9-10 feet tall. And they told me who they were. Truthfully, folks, I have not read no books. And someone said to me, you ever heard of Zachariah Sitchin, who I just recently heard about? And I said, no, sort of, maybe. And they said, well, I think you need to do some reading. So a lady friend of mine turned me on to a couple books. And I started reading some of them. And I said, wow, this is so similar to what I went through. And I thought, okay, maybe I need to talk to somebody about this. But a lot of people didn't really want to talk about it too much because they were sort of just discovering into it. But there are some similarities to who I know. And this man who I do know of is James Gilliland. He's well known in his work. And James actually has his own radio show here on BBS Radio. But I wanted to get him on my show because I do have my own time frames up here. And I have a lot of people that actually know what I do. And I want to get him on, so I'm looking forward to having him in here right now. So without any further ado, James, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I've got a lot of people that listen to my show from all across Canada, and including the U.S., and also all across the world. I got a lot of faithful listeners because, I mean, not just in my field being a paranormal investigator or just a medium as well, but once in a while, I do talk about UFOs, and myself, I am an abductee. And when I heard, actually, your guys sent me down your video, and when I watched it, I went, my God, that's so similar to what you went through. I went through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty well floored. My mouth just fell open. I was like, what? So I thought, maybe I need to talk sometime. I mean, Don Newsom has been trying to get you and I in contact with each other for the last couple of years since I've known Don.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really wanted to bother anybody. I'm kind of a person like step aside, and unless I really decide to want to get somebody on to create that interest up as far as my program, as far as the idea of the program is concerned. And I thought to myself, you know what? I got to do this. And Don's been bugging me. He says, you know, get James on. I'm telling you, he's gonna be able to help you. So he bent my arm back.
I'm glad he did.
Yeah, and I'm glad I got you on here. I want to talk about you. A lot of people know who you are, and those of you who are actually newer listeners actually listening to the show, James Gilliland actually has the ability to talk to UFOs, or extraterrestrials, so to speak. He's been abducted since he was, I'm going to say, quite a few years ago. Not as a child, but years, like a teenager or even younger or older, weren't you?
Yeah, I my first experience is we had a lot of experiences. Both my brother and I, we were raised in a small desert town, so
yeah,
we had a lot of experiences when we were kids, and they're more like ultra-dimensional beings, like some extremely advanced beings.
Yeah,
and I realized that, you know, I had kind of an agreement with them even before I was born to come in, and kind of a relationship, so that continued, and then I got caught up in, you know, the social consciousness program and trying to be a success and all the other stuff, and then kind of lost that. And then I had a drowning, which just opened me wide open, you know, went through the tunnel and everything, and then that started everything up again.
Yeah. I had my first abductee, I guess. I didn't really know it was abductee first, but, I mean, you're a kid looking out the window of your house, and you see this starship and looks like a giant rainbow flying across the sky. Now, this is in Brandon, Manitoba,
mm-hmm.
Eastern Canada, and I see this UFO hovering, and so next thing you know, I'm looking at it, and the next thing you know, I'm in my bed. And so I got up in that later on that day, and I said to my mom, I saw a UFO, or saw, you know, an alien ship, so to speak. And my mother's going, yeah, sure, mm-hmm. You know, I hear mothers are just like that way.
Yeah,
I was about 7 or 8 years of age, I think. And that afternoon, my mother took me. We said she wanted to go downtown to do some shopping, and she wanted to take me with her, so I went with her downtown. Back then, those years, the bus drivers actually had radios, those transistor radios, and
mm-hmm.
they were playing them. And when the news was going, the news people came on and said there was over 1,000 sightings of UFOs flying across the sky above Brandon. And when my mother heard that, sitting next to me, she looked at me and stared at me, and she said, I'll never doubt you again. But the interesting part of it was, something happened to me. I don't know what it was at the time, but someone said to me in my mind, so to speak, we'll see each other again. And then when I was about 9, I drowned. I went through a near-death experience by drowning as well, which you went through. Then I was bound determined to learn to swim. And then through the years, as I was growing up, I started seeing starships more often. I started getting visions of people visiting me from other starships. And then you start watching your typical movies, and you can think to yourself, maybe you're watching just theater things, and you put that in your mind. And because a lot of people didn't want to hear what you're talking about, and you begin to become a little bit leery about yourself, or thinking, maybe it's my imagination. And about 10 years ago, I was in home at bed, and the next thing you know, I remember seeing myself being taken outside my house, and I'm on the ship. And I know what the ship looks like. I can describe it to you. It looked like a giant donut, so to speak. But they took me to this planet, which I believe I know the planet. They gave the name TM. Which was called TM to me, and I was looking up at the ship when it was actually lifting off the ground, and the inside, the center of it looked like a giant rainbow whirling back and around, like going in a circle, and you can hear that woo sound to it, and I remember seeing that, and I was like, wow, can't believe it. And then this tall man standing next to me, and he calls himself ZL, and he says that he's been a friend of mine for years, and he's welcomed me back home. So apparently he says that I live there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taking me places. Everybody knew me. I mean, like, you know, hi, Derek, how are you doing? You know, long time no see. How are we doing? I'm going like, do I know you? You know, and it was interesting. But there's one part of it is kind of a stickler. This is going to be kind of kicker, so to speak. I saw a scientist. They took me into the lab and showed me there were three people in this vat. And it looked like chocolate, but or like a mud, so to speak, like a brown color. And their heads are above the mud, but they're somehow inside, as if they're going through, I don't know what I make it, but maybe it's cleaning up their bodies or doing a detoxing. That's my thinking. But it looked like a giant silver vat. And the guy was wearing a lab coat, and his back was turned to me, and he turned around, looked at me, and I swore to God it was Deepak Chopra. And I look at it, and I said, Deepak Chopra, is it you? And he goes, no, you must have somebody mistaken. I thought, man, you look like him. And I thought, I'm wondering if sometimes we do have identities that actually take us to places that we think that who we think we are, or by, you know, someone else's identity that make look like them.
Might be
it's interesting. They show me all the ships there. They show me things, how they move. But the people are telling me, like, there was one thing I found most amazing. They told me that they actually lived for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. That's what really got my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what we actually live here. I mean, our lifestyle here is between 70 and 80 years of age. They live to 1,000 years as if nothing, you know, they got somebody driving a bus at the age of 80, and then they call that young. You ever come across anything like that with your guys?
Exactly. Well, pretty much the same. They're different, though. The ones I've had contact with are very much like us. They're much more genetically refined. One group, pretty much, I think they're just forever beings. I don't even know if they ever die. And the other group lived to be about 1,200 years, somewhere around there. And the woman I've been in contact most of the time, her name's Blaji. She's a Palladian. And she's about 430 years old, and she looks like she's about 25.
Yeah, yeah. And it was interesting because when I look at these guys, and when Zale was, like I said, he showed me around, then they start showing me these reviews of things that events that were going to happen. And he asked me if I wanted to see these things to see what will happen to the Earth. And I told him, I said, yeah, I'd love to see that. And because he says, if it ever bothers you, let me know. It never bothered me. I just wanted to see what was happening. So he gave me some review. He showed me some of the things, the events that were going to happen, especially in the area where I live, and that we're expecting to have a flood, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me the date when it was going to happen, but I didn't exactly get the year. But he did say, he put one date specifically, a flood is going to take place, and he mentioned about White Rock, where I live near. Not White Rock, New Mexico, but White Rock here in British Columbia. And their waters were going to rise. We're close to the ocean. That was going to rise about 200 feet. And that was going to, a lot of people will perish. But he says that he showed me there was going to be ice caps that were melting and be prepared for all this. And I saw, he says April 10th. But I didn't hear the year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he says you cannot live too close to this area. He says you have to be further centered and out of the way of the ocean. Not to live near it, but to be not too far from it, but enough where it won't harm you. I said, well, why me? And he said, because you're one of the messengers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I got from him. And I thought, okay, so him and I were in contact quite often. But I remember getting the implants. They had me on the table, and I had two implants put into me. One was behind my nasal passage, and one was behind my thigh, which I got a scar to show it. And they had me in one stirrup, one leg up on my left side, and it hurt like hell. I told them it hurt. And they said to me, there's one on that side of the nasal passage, which I don't remember what for, why. But when I had it, when I got up in the morning, they dropped me off, and I went to have a shower, and I sneezed in my hand, and I had some blood in my hand, but also it looked like a silver casing, or like it's all, look as if it's melted with the blood, and it washed away.
Yeah.
But it's my nasal passage.
That's not uncommon. You know, that's a pretty common story, it seems to be, with a lot of abductees.
Yeah, but I'm not afraid.
Uh-huh.
I'm not afraid, like as if they said to me, well, you know, we'll be in contact. Okay. You know, I just thought I'd share that with you. Let's see what your thoughts are on that one, if it's actually very similar to what you're dealing with.
Yeah, it is. One of the things, I've seen a lot of different beings out there. A lot of them were like us. Some of them were looked very different than us, and you know, they're robed beings, but their faces were a lot different than humans. But they had an exquisite energy about them. You know, very ancient, very loving, very wise. Most people, if they saw him, would run from him. You know.
Well, this guy actually had a beard.
Uh huh.
He looked like a normal guy, but like
yeah.
9.5 feet tall.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them that look just like us. You know, they're basically our ancestors.
Yeah.
And some of them that don't look like us, that are from whole different
yeah.
systems. And what they told me is the body is an adaptation to environment. And there's lots of planets out there with different environments. You know, and some planets have a lot of gravity. You know, the people are real short and stocky, and they have to be, you know, to deal with the gravity on that planet. And then you
yeah.
have other planets with less gravity, and they're very tall and thin, you know, extremely thin. It's probably hard for them to be here.
Well, I asked them, how far is the planetary universe system compared to where we are? Like, how far are you guys from us? And he said, right through the Orion's belt.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you just go through Orion's belt, which basically is like another dimension, and you're there.
That's the same thing the Pleiadians were saying, you know, the same thing. They said if you go to the Pleiades, it's not really in our time frame that where they're going. They do a jump there,
yeah.
and they go to a whole other dimension. So it's not the Pleiades as we know it. It's a whole other system, you know, whole other dimension.
Now you're living out in Mount Adams in near Washington.
Yes, uh-huh.
You got a sanctuary out there. Now I've been told. I mean, I watched your video. I think it's absolutely fabulous. You guys should do a second one.
Mm-hmm.
Get it all distributed to all the video stores so they actually know that they should be out there. I was quite excited because I remember doing the same thing what you went through or what you're doing by getting them to light up in the sky, because where I live, they do the same thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to them, all of a sudden you say, well, can you guys get it a little bit more brighter for me? And all of a sudden they get a flash in my face.
Yeah.
A real big flash.
We had something happen here that was quite interesting, but we had a whole group outside, and you know, one came in, and I said, okay, light her up. I was going, light her up like this to it, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, the thing lights up.
Yeah.
And then the second time, what it did was it lit everybody up on the ground, and it bilocated the light, and there was no beam coming from the ship. They just bilocated the light right there
yeah.
around us, and we just lit up like crazy. You could see everybody's face clear as a bell.
Yeah.
Like a big flash camera went off, but... What was strange is that the ship was pretty far up, and there was no beam coming from the ship. So they have some pretty amazing technologies.
Have they ever talked to you, have the extraterrestrials ever talked to you about their flying techniques, or have you flown with them, so to speak? Have you been on their ship to fly?
I've been on, there's a lot of different ones. What I find out, what I found out basically is that there are some, you know, ETs that are physical. There's some that have more of an energy body, and some have a magnetized light body.
Yeah.
And their ships follow that vibrational continuum. So there are some with physical ships that are you know, physical to us, and we could walk right on them. And
uh-huh.
and the ones that I was on a small one, and there wasn't anything to it. It was pretty simple. You know,
yeah.
there wasn't much to the ship. It was very clean and very simple. And, but I've gone on these plasma ships where they just pull you right out of your body, you know, and you're on these ships in an energy body or a spirit body.
Yeah.
And I've had conversations with them doing that. And the ships, there's nothing on the ship. It's just pure energy. It's just
yeah.
a pure energy field.
Well, that I've been on one of those myself, because I remember you're talking about, like, just basically it's almost as if your spirit leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
Going there, but you swore to God you're already there.
Yeah, they left a burn mark on my chest because they sent a beam right through the wall and it hit me in the middle of the chest, and they pulled me out of my body with that beam
mm-hmm.
onto the ship. And it actually left a burn mark on my physical chest, right in the middle of my chest. So I couldn't, you know, dismiss it as a vivid dream or something, because, you know, it left a physical manifestation there, you know, so I could, you know, look at it and go, you know, that was real.
about 9 years ago here in White Rock, about around June 10th, I remember, never forget that day, we had a triangular, blue triangular-shaped ship. It was so huge, it looked like the size of a football field, bring above our city. It freaked everybody downtown. It was actually like facing down to us. It was actually hovering above the sky. And like I said, triangular shaped. You could hear the whirring sound, so to speak, but it was like very dense sound. And I guess the hovering of it, and then there, I guess, you know, you're watching some of these people, and one, a couple of girls got so scared staring at it, they ran inside McDonald's, they're like the restaurant, they're going, ah, just freaking, and just, like, they thought they were being invaded. In my truck with my wife, and I was the passenger. Now, I wasn't driving, she was driving, and she didn't pay any attention, she goes, oh, whatever, and she drove. You know, like, it didn't bother her at all. She goes, oh, they're just here visiting, who cares, let's go home. You know, she wasn't making a big deal about it. I was all excited. I didn't want to get close. But as we're getting closer, because her and I are right in the middle of the road, the ship turned upwards, and it shot straight up and disappeared. They did a small story on it in the front page news, and then after it came out, it was silenced, never to be talked about. And yet we had so many witnesses that seen this. And nobody was to talk about it, not even a newspaper.
Yeah, it's pretty normal. Up here, about, well, I think it's about 3 weeks now have passed, but we had 12 golden ships just hovering right over the sanctuary here. And a lot of people called into the sheriff's department about it. And one of the women on dispatch called me and said, hey, you know, what's going on? And I go, there's 12 golden ships, you know, hovering over the area here, and I said, well, if they're golden, don't worry about it, you know.
They're golden, don't worry about it.
They're the friendly ones, you know. And so it was kind of funny, but we tried to get somebody to corroborate that, and it never happened. You know, it just got hushed up, and it never happened. And we had, we've had three ships come down here in the area.
Yeah. And, do you ever get landings where you are?
Yeah, I have. We've had one out in the field, but that was in the very beginning when I first made contact, and they said that after you go public, they won't be able to do that anymore because of the we would be watched, and we're definitely watched, you know. So
yeah, because the military is on your case right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're always, you know, flying over the place in either black helicopters or black F-15s.
Do you feel that you pose as a threat to the military?
Do I pose a threat?
Yeah, as a threat to the military due to the connection of the extraterrestrials.
Probably to military intelligence, because it's not very intelligent the way they're dealing with it, you know.
I just found something here not long ago, and it says, I mean, this is American law. It says that it was against the law to make contact with extraterrestrials. Didn't say illegal aliens. It's extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
You're supposed to turn them in. If you don't turn them in, you're supposed to, then you'll end up being prosecuted. Why do they make that law?
Well, because, you know, they're trying to cover everything up. The thing is that they can't really use that law, because if they use the law, then they have to admit that extraterrestrials are real. So it's kind of a catch-22. And the more you go public, and if they come and arrest you, then basically what they're saying is that, you know, everything you've been talking about is for real, and we arrested him for having contact. You know, and so they just validated the whole thing. So it's kind of an interesting situation. You know, I don't know why they'd make such a law and then turn around and say, you know, ETs don't exist, they're not here, it's all a bunch of garbage, you know. But, you know, why would they pass a law if they weren't here?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Not
yeah.
at all.
Well, I'll tell you what they told me, and I've had all the alphabet agencies up here, and I've had Boeing engineers, I had 30 at a time once, and, you know, they all went on coast to coast and testified. I had people in Skunk Works testify as well that, you know, these definitely weren't ours, anything that we had. But what I see right now is that the real disclosure is going to come from the heavens. It's going to come from the sky. And they're picking that up right now. And, you know, it's good to do the work on the ground, too, but it's going to be totally supported. And the big event is really going to be happening in the sky. And, you know, right now they're seeing all kinds of footage just coming in over San Diego, Texas. Ohio is having a huge flap right now. You know, Mexico and Peru are having hundreds, if not thousands, of ships flying over their skies. So I mean, it's in all the South American countries, they publicize it. It's front page news.
But how come it never gets to us?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How come it never gets to us? How come we don't see these things?
Well, you know, right now, if anybody hasn't figured it out, the press is pretty much totally controlled, and especially in the U.S., because there's several subjects you don't talk about. One, the press won't cover UFOs, and they won't cover any kind of fuelless energy technology, and you won't see them covering anything about, you know, cures, you know, especially if they're an inexpensive cure for certain disease or whatever. And those things they just stay away from. And if you really think about it, the three main key corporations that govern everything on the planet right now are the oil corporations, the pharmaceutical corporations, and the war industry.
Which basically represents by the Rothschilds.
Yeah. And so basically the bottom line, and they own the newspapers and all of this stuff. You know, they have these beings that come here that have transcended disease, they've transcended war, they stand for peace. They have fuelless energy technologies. You know, they're extremely advanced beings. Well, the powers that be don't want that to happen, you know, because it upsets their power structure. And,
well, you heard about George Bush. Actually, he was talking about creating a Star Wars satellite to protect outside forces in space.
Yeah, they've done that, actually.
Is this supposed to do you think that do you believe this is what they're trying to create as a power of their own to stop extraterrestrials from landing on this planet?
Pretty much. I mean, their whole goal is to amass as much power and wealth as possible, and power usually, you know, goes into the weaponization of everything, you know, even space.
Yeah.
So they want to have the best and the most powerful weapons, you know, and the most wealth, and that's where they're going. And unfortunately, a lot of this technology could actually be used to heal the planet, you know, and to heal humanity, Earth, and clean up the environment. And it's there right now. We have it here. You know, we have fuelless energy technology. We have counter-gravity, anti-gravity. You know, we have incredible healing technologies that are working through energetics. But on every front, these are stopped, and the guys that try to get it out are actually either killed or they just end up taken, you know, they get bought off or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of you, I remember getting some emails sent to me about some great guys that actually have been doing the projects to help, that have been in contact with extraterrestrials in the labs, communicate with them and everything, and a couple of extraterrestrials mostly were nasty ones, and I guess they're in cahoots, so to speak, with the American government and trying helping them make this particular gun
mm-hmm.
to keep the good ones from landing on this planet, to basically to preserve the Earth's atmosphere and to protect it. But yet, instead of their belief system, they want to use as power.
Mm-hmm.
To get out of the negative sense of it.
What's that?
To get out of the negative sense of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Have you been learning from them regarding any healing projects or programs that through the years your friends from spirit from the other side?
Yeah, I have. What's interesting is that we've been hit with everything here. If it wasn't for them, I'd probably be dead right now. But and I'm just coming out of something else. It sounds real similar to what you experienced. You know,
yeah.
just intestinal deadly flu. But they've been doing low-level spraying here, you know, aerosol spraying. And one time they came in really low and sprayed the area, and all the chickens just dropped, and with some kind of a nerve agent. So, you know, it's some nasty stuff going on, and they've been using psychotronics and just about everything to make
it go away.
Well, actually,
that what you're talking basically about is actually is chemicals that they, what do you call it, chemtrails.
Chemtrails, yeah.
Doing it over in where we are too. That's where I was. I was in the reservations,
mm-hmm.
I work with the First Nations Indians there on the res because I'm doing a diabetes conference up there.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the military has been flybys a lot, and yes, they're low-flying, above the res. And because we are complaining about the chemical plant that they got, that the military, that the government's got in there, we want it shut down, and apparently a lot of people have gotten sick on account of this plant, and they don't need it. Because we're basically beginning to lose our forestry, our wildlife there. You can hardly even, you know, I mean, you still have your fish and your hunting game, but not as much as it used to be. It's not as plentiful as it used to be because of the chemical labs that are the chemical plants that are there, one chemical plant that's there. And we're trying to put a stop to it, but the military keeps on getting in the way and said they're doing it for the good of it, not for the, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
But we never asked them to go there. They just go ahead and just take it.
Yeah. That's
so when a person complains, they get you sick.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there is a bacteria that actually sets diabetes into motion. And one thing they do hate is the reservations, you know, because of their sovereignty. So.
Yeah. And we're strong. We're very strong.
Yeah. There's nothing different than, you know, the smallpox blankets in the past. Now they just have higher tech blankets. They make them in the sky,
yeah,
and drop them on you that way.
Yeah. So, how's your health right now?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hoping this other thing moves through that I'm dealing with. But you know, I'm doing pretty good right now. You know, just the past couple of days, I got hit really hard with this intestinal thing.
Yeah. Well, just build up your electrolytes, by the way.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. I worked a lot with a German biophysicist.
Yeah.
And he actually crystallized oxygen and stabilized it at room temperature. And it used to be called Aquarius water. Now it's called Langenberg water.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing because oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get.
Yeah.
And a long time ago, you know, our oxygen levels were, you know, up to 35%, maybe 100 years ago. And now they're down to 17%. And they're down to 5 to 7% in some of the major cities, and people wonder why they're getting sick. You know, it's you know, a lot of it's because the oxygen levels are going down so low because the huge dead zones in the ocean where the plankton's dying, you know, and the forests are being, you know, the lungs of the earth are being taken out, and we're doing ourselves in. And you know, I talked about in the movie Contact Have Begun. You know, what's more important? You know, the almighty dollar or taking a breath. You know, and that's kind of where we're going right now.
Look, I mean, here's a movie that came out a while back. It's called Medicine Man, and mm-hmm. it was with it was regarding the up in the South American country,
mm-hmm.
where what was the actor? That was Sean. Oh my God, Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
And he played an American, like a European, or actually a Scottish doctor or English doctor in the bush with long hair.
Oh, yeah.
Actually trying to put a stop to the clear-cutting of land in the forest. And this is basically what they're doing. When you start clear-cutting property, like clear-cutting the mountains, and start clear-cutting all these land masses with forestry, this is where a lot of our oxygen starts to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people can't breathe that well. We have so much clear-cutting here in Canada, and we protest so much. So many of our elders that have protested that have been actually arrested, not arrested, taken to jail and left in jail, not with no prosecution whatsoever because they protested against clear-cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's our territories and the government just goes ahead and takes it, and just to provide an Olympic season. They're clear-cutting a whole bunch of land to build up Olympic areas for the Winter Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to be landmassing 10 square miles or even more of this here. I mean, they're clear-cutting all the forestry. Then after the 2010 Olympics, it's abandoned. Nothing left.
Yeah. Typical. Yeah, it's pretty insane. The way I feel it is that, you know, I always loved that bumper sticker. You know, I used to have that one that says "Save the Whales," you know, and then another one came out after that and said "Save the Humans." And that's basically where we are right now. We're at Save the Humans, you know, because the Earth's going to do her thing here real soon. And like those visions you were shown and about the changes and things like that, there's going to be a lot of us that aren't going to be here anymore because we're not paying attention. We're not in touch with the rest of creation, and we're just basically warring on the planet and each other to the point of the Earth just had enough, and it's going to take care of the problem.
You know, here's the thing. We got so much out there for us to take advantage of, to live a really great life, and then we have this country trying to control the masses. I call them sheeple, where people allow themselves to be, you know, led around. And sometimes they want to believe the media, because we do need the media as well to support us.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things out there, most things out there, that are not that great to hear about or see. But I want to get you to tell me, some, or to share with us the people out there, but by your means of advice, what would you would like to see, what you call your joy today? What would you want to see done?
Well, basically, I think people need to simplify and get back in touch with nature and get away from this, you know, this program that they've bought into of gaining, you know, acceptance and approval outside of self through, you know, material acquisitions, and, you know, live a more wholesome spiritual life in harmony with each other and nature. I'm seeing that starting to happen. There's a lot of divinely inspired, you might say, communities that are coming together and just pulling out of the system. And I see two worlds right now. We're in this flux between two worlds, and there's one world, if they go with the flow and flow with the Earth and her need to cleanse and heal herself and follow the spirit within, they're going to be fine. But the other groups that are totally disconnected, that are going to be staying, you know, along the coastlines and along the riverbanks and things like that, where there's going to be a lot of tsunami activity and flooding, and you know, they're going to, you know, be able to start over in diapers again, I guess, on the next go-around, and, you know, learn to be better listeners, you might say.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, my thing is that I've already done the other, you know, I had everything I wanted and all the material acquisitions, and I found it to be totally empty. And I get the greatest joy out of watching people heal and, you know, release the past and move forward. And nature, I really enjoy being in nature and close to nature more than anything else.
Yeah, that's where I am too. I love being outside of nature. Mm-hmm. My wife likes to get her hands in the garden, just keep on digging dirt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I always keep telling people out here, instead of depending upon the stores, start growing your own gardens, you know, because you're going to need it one day. With the stores, they end up shutting down, no electricity, no power, and what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have a tendency of surviving or thinking they survive by walking into that store, and the first thing they head for is the candies and all that fast food stuff, but they forget what's on the outside the store, on the edge of it, which is all the greens and all the nuts and all the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think some of these stores need to seriously consider is taking everything from the outside, put it in the center, and take all the candies and all that, put it in the outside so they're not seen as much. Because
yeah.
We're only focused one direction to see what's ahead in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We're like a horse with blinders. So, do you feel or do you know if your extraterrestrials actually will be doing some more checking up on you or doing more messages for you regarding any new things happening for this year?
Well, you know, they've been talking a lot about, since 1982, they gave me this information, and I wrote it in the books. I wrote three books. One's called Reunion with Source, and the other one's called Becoming Gods, which is most blasphemous, you know, but we already are gods because there's no separation and omnipresence, you know, but you know, it kind of brings that understanding in that every, you know, all creation is connected. But the prophecies in there, I talked about the expanding sun, you know, and the global warming that was coming, and the just insane weather patterns we're having, and the increase in hurricanes and tornadoes, you know, as well as the earthquake activity, and all of it has come right on track. And I used to be in Santa Cruz, California, and I gave him the exact date and time of the big quake, the San Francisco quake as well, and hit that right on the button. But
was that you that was that did the whole? I remember they were talking about that, and I think it was a news a while years back about that someone made a prediction, and was that must have been you on the radio then they were talking about?
Could have been. I don't know. I know they had a geologist, Jim Berkland, also did.
Okay.
And they covered him a lot. But, I mean, I basically got run out of town. I tried to tell the Unity churches and a lot of the spiritual groups there, and I said, hey, this event's going to happen. And they go, oh, you're a doom and gloomer, you know, you're a fear-monger.
You're the devil.
yeah. And I just said, you know, you have a responsibility to the people, at least to give them a heads up, you know, that this is a possibility.
I mean, look at the tornado that got hit up in Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody expected that.
No, yeah. And so, you know, it's like I gave them the exact date, time, location, everything in this magnitude. And, you know, they just blew it off and basically wanted me to get out of town almost. They were so ticked off at me. And, you know, all these top spiritual people there were calling me every name in the book until it happened. And then when it happened, you know, I left. Actually, I left before it hit because I knew it was coming. And I went up to Washington, and when I came back down there, they were still angry at me, you know, saying I created it, you know. So I said, well, thanks for all the power, you know, but you know, I said, you know, I didn't really create it. I just saw it, you know, I think saw it coming in the future.
Yeah, but people are so afraid what they don't see. let's get back to, I want to talk about the Anunnaki. Now, you ever heard of them, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever spoken to them yourself, or is it something that you just know the knowledge of?
You know, I probably have and didn't really know who they were, because the Anunnaki, both Anunnaki and Nephilim, when you know, translate it, just says those who came from heaven to earth.
Yeah.
And a lot of beings have come to the earth and set up camp here. The earth has been colonized so many times, and people have come and gone. And do natural cycles, to meteors hitting the earth, and also great wars. You know, we're a lot of the native traditions talk about us being the fifth generation or the fifth world or whatever.
Huh.
And some say we're going into the fifth world, or some say we are the fifth world. It depends on which group. But if you talk to the elders on almost every nation, you ask them where they came from, they point to a system. You know, most point to the Pleiades or another system is where their ancient ancestors came from.
Yeah, and a lot of them will actually point to the Big Bear.
Yeah. And then the Star Nations, you know, is part of the prophecies of almost all the indigenous people. You know, they around the world talk about the Star Nations and the different groups. So, you know, there's
our group
myself,
I'm Métis, and what we do is we practice called the Star Lodge ceremony.
Uh-huh.
And we set up this building. It's all done, and we have to wear white. And we use copper and coins, and we do a whole complete preparation, a full day preparing to welcome the star beings into the door. And so we for the whole year, we practice the songs with our drums, and we welcome them into the door. And they walk right in, and we have a firekeeper outside keeping the fire. And he's actually supposed to be the first person that sees the star beings, and they walk, these are little aliens, walk into the door, and we welcome them, and we sing for them to honor them. They leave gifts behind as they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, having to see yourself light up when they come in, and literally, you will light up a bright light, because you're wearing white.
Yeah.
Totally phenomenal. Totally, totally phenomenal.
That sounds really interesting. I'd love to check that one out.
Yeah, and it does exist in our territory up here.
Yeah, winter ate my sweat lodge. So,
winter ate your sweat lodge?
Yeah, we had like 10 foot deep snows up here. We usually have maybe 2-3 feet, sometimes no snow.
Did you leave the cover on?
What's that?
Leave the cover on?
No, it was more of a little bit of a modern one, you know. It was built a little differently. It wasn't, you know, the total traditional type. But it was built according to sacred geometry, and it had, you know, 12 sides on the roof, and it was a six-sided building. It was built, you know, in a lot of meditation on exactly how to do it.
Okay.
And, you know, the snow on top of that thing, when it got up to about 10 foot tall, it finally gave it up and just flattened it out like a pancake, you know. So I think I'm going to go back to the more traditional one or something, you know.
It does work quite well.
Yeah.
Back to the earth.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I hear, like, even though you've had near-death experience and yours was basically through the water, I mean, can you tell us your story regarding the one that you had near-death experience? Was it California?
Yeah, I was out body surfing, and there was 17 to 25 foot tall waves that came in, like sneaker waves, and just out of nowhere. And you know, one of them was coming breaking right on top of me, and I was trying to get under it, swimming as fast as I could, and then it sucked all the water out. Next thing you know, I was running towards it to dive into it, and there was nowhere to go, and it just, you know, swatted me like a fly. I've never been hit so hard.
Wow.
And, you know, dislocated my shoulder and knocked the wind out of me. And then another one came, you know, just when I was about ready to get up, and I couldn't get air. Just when I finally came up and the other one let me go, I couldn't get air because my diaphragm was collapsed. And then the next one hit me. And after the third wave hit me, I just gave it up and went through the tunnel, you know, that everybody talks about. And I ended up in this plane of bliss. It's just pure golden white light. And I was unique yet one. I was still aware of myself, but I was one with this greater consciousness.
Uh-huh.
And having a conversation with it. And, you know, the first thing I asked was, how can I stay? And, it, you know, a thought transmission came back to me and said, I never told one of my children when to come or go. That's free will. And then I asked, how can I earn the right to stay? And it came back to me, and it said, you know, you can't earn what is given freely and unconditionally. And I go, well, wait a second, this isn't the God I was taught about, because I had to go to Catholic school. It was the only school in the desert town where we lived. And, you know, I was given a bunch of images, you know. And so I had to let go of all those old images. And the next thing I asked was, how could I serve? And I was just floating in this light for quite a while. And finally the voice came back to me and it said, what do you want to do? What brings you joy? And I said, I want to come back and teach people about the true nature of God and dispel these old wrathful images, you know, and this nonsense that's being taught. And the last thing I heard was, as you wish, and I was back in my body and somebody was grabbing me by the arm, pulling me in, you know, out of the water.
Wow. And then you're here.
Yeah, then I came back.
Cool.
And I've been a heretic ever since.
Now, you've got this video out called Contact Has Begun, A True Story with James Gilliland, A Message That Will Change Your World. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, I watched it. I'm actually totally pleased by it, and you can easily make a second one.
Mm-hmm.
To really put him on suspenseful heretic.
Yeah. Well, that's what we want to do. I mean, we've got... The movie has phenomenal people in it. I mean, it has Michal Ledwith, which was he used to be an advisor to the Pope, you know, people like that on there. But Neil Freer's on there, Brooks Agnew. Now, Brooks Agnew, have you had him on your show?
No, I haven't. No,
he's doing
had Michal. Not Michal.
Oh.
Oh, my God. He was the UFOs, doing the orbs. My blank right now.
Yeah, well, Michal did a book on the orbs. Michal,
yeah,
Ledwith.
He did. That was Michal and
Hans something.
Yeah.
I know I mispronounced his last name, so I won't even try it.
Yeah, it's,
something, Klausman or something?
It's Klaus Heinemann.
Klaus Heinemann, yeah.
Yeah, Klaus on my show.
Yeah, okay, great.
Viewed him on the orbs, the veil of lifting was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen the movie?
I got the video. I watched it.
Okay.
It's really, really good. It's one of the best ones I've ever seen in a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, I did my own investigating, and that's one of the best I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I'm in that one. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Got your good looks in there.
You know, the people that made that, I introduced them to orbs here at the ranch.
Yeah.
and Hope and Randy Mead. And most of that footage you see is actually shot here at the ranch.
I kind of figured that. Everything looked pretty well. Well, you know why? Because you got so much activity on the healing center of your own. That's the reason why it's so good, because you got UFO sightings, you've got orbs,
mm-hmm.
you've got, well, here, Jay-Z Knight. I know all about her. I've known about her for years.
Yeah.
That's of her reputation. A lot of people, I was in the same, the same path as you were in, then I decided to walk a different path. I was trying to focus more on paranormal investigating. Because I work as a medium, that's my
mm-hmm.
job, and also doing radio, because I was, I've been doing it for 2 years now, come in May, as far as the internet radio is concerned. It's just been, I've been trying to figure out a lot of new things that would create an inspiration, and then I kept falling back and towards you, and I thought, I got to do more here. I would like to come down to your place, to your healing center, and just really talk.
Yeah, you definitely have to come.
Do another video in here in Canada. But you know what? I want to get you your. I would like to see your video go into the video stores so they can really see what's going on, even though we do have what they're for sale. But get them out there in the video stores, because people need, you guys out there, I'm telling you guys on radio, those who are listening in, you got to get the video. It's called Contact Has Begun. James Gilliland's doing this. He's got a website. And you can actually go to contacthasbegun.com to order the video. Also, James has done other things as well, including the Orbs program. And you've been busy. You've been on, Larry King, or?
No, I haven't been on Larry King yet. I've been on Coast to Coast quite a bit, but I've been doing almost 3 radio shows a day sometimes. And
I've not been on Coast to Coast, but a lady friend of mine who has crossed over last year, Era Louise, I think you might know her. Remember Era Louise?
Uh-huh. Her?
She was one of my producers. She got me turned on to meeting everybody here in the field, which she was best friends of Art Bell's wife, the one who passed away.
Yeah, Ramona.
Uh-huh. And it's interesting, you go around meeting people, but you just never make the contacts unless it's necessary. And I'm kind of more of a shy kind of guy. I don't go jump in their face and say, here
yeah.
I am. I just do it if it's necessary.
I'm kind of the same way, I just, whatever comes, you can't really promote yourself. It's pretty, you have to have somebody else do it, basically.
Yeah, I guess you and I are just passive people sometimes.
Yeah.
When you get me on radio, I got a mouth.
Yeah. you'll definitely have to come out because, we have this 16-acre field. It's all echinacea, and it looks up right at the base of Mount Adams. And
wow.
It's like the Field of Dreams, and in that field, we have 8-foot-tall, 10-foot-tall golden beans, walking around blue beans, wall-to-wall orbs. We've had the whole field filled up with orbs. We have photographs of that on the website.
Do you think Adams is going to explode?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You think Mount Adams will actually...
No.
You think it's going to seep sometime?
Yeah, it's one of the docile ones. It's least likely, even by the geologists are saying that, it's the one least likely to ever do anything. And luckily, Mount St. Helens, which is right on the foot of Adams, is like this open vent, and it's taken all the pressure off the area.
I was involved with that at the time when it did go off back then, back
uh-huh.
in the 80s. We ended up getting the sulfur ash land. I was living in Alberta and landed in Lethbridge, and it was all over my car, and my vehicle was just loaded with it, and it was actually burning the paint.
It will. It'll eat the paint off. It's pretty caustic.
Cool.
But it misses us. When it goes off, it goes east. It usually goes blows out the east or the more like the northeast side. So everything goes off the other direction, and the west winds push it away from us. So we just got a light dusting. Makes everything grow. It's nature's fertilizer.
Oh, it does big time. Well, James, it's been great to have you on the show. We only have a one-hour show. I wish it was 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to do it again.
I got to get you back on here. We just touched it.
There's so much more.
Thank you for coming on. And, guys, next week I'll be back on, and I'll be, let's see, what am I doing? No, I won't be back on next week. I'm going to be back up in Alberta again. But the week after, I'm going to have Joanne Giroux, who actually is an alternative health practitioner. But James, you need to meet this lady. She's absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that you would benefit getting to know regarding health needs. She's really good at what she does.
Yeah. Tell her fix my intestines.
Yeah, she actually will help you with that. She's really good at that. She's got these fabulous machines that does the work. She's amazing. I've seen her do cures cancer, MS.
Uh-huh.
You name it, she's done it.
Yeah,
and,
there's so much technology coming out now, amazing things, and I'm in touch with the people that are making it, and that's my whole focus here at the sanctuary is to implement that and create a place for it where people can come and be, you know, healed on every level.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to get her down to your place and meet her, really, because she is that good at what she does.
Yeah, tell her to come down and do a talk or a lecture or something.
I'm going to have her on my show 2 weeks from today, and you can listen into the show, and she's here I'm to hear her. Or I can give you her phone number. You can have a chat in the line for a long, long time. Anyway, thanks, James, for coming on. Folks, this is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds. Talk to you guys in 2 weeks, but don't be shy. Listen to next week's show. It'll be an archive. The reason why I'm going up north again, I'm going to be doing some work doing a drug and alcohol counseling circle, so I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Take care, folks. Be safe out there. Bye.